If you are interested in starting your own podcast, we use Buzzsprout because it is simple and easy to use. Buzzsprout can get your show listed on every major platform while giving you the resources for a great podcast website, audio players that can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening to your podcast, and tools to promote your episodes. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and that is why over 100,000 podcasters are already subscribed to Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in our episode descriptions lets Buzzsprout know that we sent you. So in return, you will receive a $20 Amazon gift card from Buzzsprout while signing up for a paid plan. Most importantly, every subscription through our link is always appreciated and helps support our show so we can continue delivering the quality content that you guys listen to. That being said, back to the show.
Hello and welcome to Comic Book Junkies. I'm Andrew.
This is Joe.
And this week we're coming at you with a Peacemaker TV show review. It's streaming now on HBO Max. And, you know, as with any TV or movie review that we do, there will be spoilers. So if you haven't gone ahead and already watched the series like we have, I would suggest holding off on this episode and then revisiting once you finish. But to start off, do you really want to taste it, Joe? Because, you know, I do. Because this show was the bee's knees. How did you feel about it? Overarching, how'd you feel?
Loved it. So Peacemaker, 8 episodes, directed by James Gunn. John Cena is the main character playing Peacemaker.
Hell yeah.
I was definitely looking forward to the show's release because of John Cena's performance as Peacemaker on Suicide Squad. Same. But I did not think I would like it as much as I actually did. And I am now grateful to see him get his own show because this blew Suicide Squad right out the water. I'm a big HBO guy, but I've never been a big James Gunn guy, despite his success with Guardians of the Galaxy and revamping the Suicide Squad. But I feel like there was a lot of attention to detail and he nailed the TV show platform. He also did a good job of like seamlessly tying this show to the overarching DC movie universe that has been put out so far, even though this is way better than that stuff anyway. It felt like they had a lot of creative freedom because it was a TV series, which is why it may have felt so different than everything else DC has put out so far in regards to their live action stuff. So this show was definitely consistent episode to episode.
I agree. Every single week, I was like eagerly awaiting the release. I would get in. We have a little group chat for those of you who don't know. And I'd be like, guess what? Peacemaker's out today. Every Thursday, like we didn't realize that already. But I was just like, it's coming on tonight. Are you watching? Because I loved this. And as you heard in our Suicide Squad review, my favorite thing about this was John Cena. So obviously, when you focus on John Cena as a whole and he's the star of the show, it was bound to be great. And I know that there's like a trend of, you know, wrestlers turning into movie stars, and that doesn't necessarily always turn into the best product. But, you know, John Cena has been doing movies for quite some time, and he's grown into a goofy personality, which obviously, you know, I like anything goofy. And then, I mean, I've been a John Cena fan period since I was a wee child watching the WWE. So double whammy that he's not only one of my favorite Charlton characters, but he's being brought up as, you know, for DC Comics and just in general that he gets his own show. Who would have thought that 2022 we're getting a Peacemaker show when we have what, a Superman movie with Henry Cavill? So it's cool that they're greenlighting the weird side of comic books and stuff like that. These like underrepresented characters can kind of get their due, and cool things can happen. They did take a lot of creative liberties, obviously. The shit they said and some of the plots that they wrote, not a lot of typical TV shows or movies in today's current landscape can kind of get away with the things they got away with, to be honest. But I think that's kind of the charm of it. It almost feels of a different time, like something you would have seen back in the day with like kind of the crass humor. I mean, obviously the soundtrack, which I did like thematically, you know, that it kind of had like a hard rock genre to go with what was going on in the series. And not only that it was like a soundtrack, but that it was actually personal to the character too. And while I'll say that I thought it was executed perfectly overall, I think that not every song choice was perfect. And by that, I mean, this is something I critiqued in the Suicide Suicide Squad. There'd be a lot of just regular action scenes, you know, just dialogue, sound effects, and whatever's going on in the scene. And then they'd quickly transition to like a montage or, you know, a weird kind of scene with like a random song behind it, especially in the Suicide Squad, like when King Shark was, you know, tapping the glass with those dumb fish things and Harley Quinn was all horny with the dictator. And I hated those. And there were moments that were reminiscent of that, like namely when Vigilante and Peacemaker go to shoot shit up in the woods for the first time. The song they were playing kind of took me out of the scene, but I felt what they were going for. So that's something I always kept in mind, is like the song fits what they're going for, but I will say that these are some weird song choices at some points, and it's kind of like, damn, that's kind of cringe, bro.
I did like seeing John Cena playing the piano. As much as there were misses, there were some hits too.
Yeah, when he's playing Motley Crue on the piano. Yeah, that shit was like hilarious. Yeah. It was like so sentimental too. He literally played that. That was him. There was no double.
No.
That's so cool.
Absolutely was cool. I'd say my favorite thing about this series was the character building and like the friendships between all the characters. I thought were pretty powerful. For example, I thought the Vigilante would be lame, but he was actually like, he offered a lot of comedic relief and was pretty funny throughout the whole entire series, making for like a great supporting character to Peacemaker. But I still really enjoyed the relationship even between Peacemaker and Amanda Waller's daughter, and grew to kind of like the character anyway. There was a scene where she builds the courage to try to save Peacemaker and wears one of his helmets. She ends up finding him, and without any heads up from Peacemaker, he says some word that activates the helmet to shoot across the room and through the belly of a space cow, but she's like attached to the helmet.
She's groggy, dude.
Yeah, dude. It's hilarious, and it's good karma for her throwing him under the bus in the first place earlier on in the series with that diary. But I would even go as far as saying the scenes where they made the one guy with the orange gray beard going
fucking
to the
dye
barn,
beard,
yeah, to plant Peacemaker's helmet, and even that was kind of emotional, even though standalone he would be a really uninteresting character.
Agree.
So I also really liked how Peacemaker struggled with the idea of his dad or killing his dad, even though he knows his dad is truly evil. It takes his dad injuring his pet eagle Eagly for him to finally stick up for himself, which is also a really cool part in this TV series. Speaking of which, I was surprised that they let his dad cross so many lines like you were talking about. But
that's what I'm saying, bro.
I definitely enjoyed that they made the decision to commit to that. They made him truly evil, which felt emotionally honest and relatable, especially maybe to people who have come from very dysfunctional families.
Everybody has that uncle on Thanksgiving.
100%. And no matter what happens, Peacemaker stays pretty genuine throughout the entire series, which is why the character is so lovable. We see that in the way that he treats the alien butterfly, despite their species trying to take over Earth. And I also think they did a great job of showcasing Peacemaker's masculinity and bravado, making him like a confident character, but also showing that he has internal struggles and is dealing with stuff and is a little more sensitive than he comes off externally.
I agree with you. Like, all of that was great. And the character development was key, because when we first started, obviously, Peacemaker and Eagly were going to be lit no matter what. You were going to love those characters. I mean, especially when you're like me, you grew up, you listen to like the hair metal, hard rock. Bald eagles have always been cool. He's very patriotic and he drives a muscle car. So obviously, I was going to have an attachment to that character. But like you said, the supporting cast, like at a glance, there is zero reason to care about some, you know, Task Force X like reject office dorks, pretty much. Like, when you just look at them, basically you're like, okay, we got Diebeard, we got Harcourt, we got Mern and all them. It's just like, but these are just like mercenary people. It's like, usually you don't give a shit about like the nameless mercenaries. But as time went on, it's like, even like, I don't know, like you said, Diebeard, economist, like, you even started to care about him a little bit at the end, like when, you know, when he was spilling his guts, like you mentioned, at the barn, how he just pretty much like self-roasted himself to the butterfly people. That shit was funny. Sad and funny, yeah. Kind of like Harcourt. She was like a straight bitch pretty much the whole time to Chris. Well, the Peacemaker. And then you see her even start to come around and kind of love the sense of like team that they have. And, you know, everybody was getting in their feelings about everything instead of just being like a hardcore like Suicide Squad, pretty much. They all got too attached. And then what I really like about this series, past the character development, is how unpredictable it was. So I find that I'm not your average TV and movie enjoyer, not to the likes of Joe or hell, most people. Seeing or watching a show and not having an idea really of where it was heading week to week was something that really interested me. Because for the most part, superhero stories are very generic. Most people should know this. We all watch Marvel movies and they're all borderline the same story over and over again. Same with the DC stuff. And DC's awful at making movies. But letting James Gunn literally do whatever the hell he wanted with this, which is what they seem to let him do, I mean, obviously, was a great thing. I mean, all of these projects should be like director, producer driven. It should be their vision for the character, because at this point, what does DC have to lose? But, you know, the butterflies, not understanding the nature of those for half the season, that was something that I was interested to actually like sit through and learn. You know, once they figured out what they were, the fact that there was a space cow and that they were taking over people and, you know, all this other stuff. Like, I liked not knowing where it was going necessarily. His dad being a supervillain, you know, at first, it's just like, holy shit. But man, it's got me excited for another season. And especially with how compact this season was, only 8 episodes, it was all killer, no filler, in my opinion. Like, they didn't waste any time. Every move they made plot wise or, you know, story, it was all, you know, very like linear. It all made sense. It all meshed together very well. And I liked how funny it was. I liked that it was very serious and had stakes, but something that I don't like typically when it comes to superhero TV shows and movies is the humor, because it's usually a bunch of corny, you know, really just shitty jokes, dude. And this, I mean, there were misses, obviously, but that's because they were swinging so much. Like, every few minutes, they were rifling off a joke. But a lot of that shit was funny, like, especially when Vigilante came up to the glass the first time at his trailer park, and he's just like, no, dude, I'm not going to look at your dick. He's like, it's the oldest trick in the book. I'm going to look, and you're going to throw jizz in my face. And it's just like, it's so stupid. It's silly. It's like, why is that the first joke that they, like, wrote in the writer's room? You know what I'm saying? Like, I like where their headspace was at for the creativity of this show. Like, everything was kind of very unorthodox compared to what I think we've seen before in superhero shows, especially at the big two. So I just absolutely love this show. I could go on forever about everything, especially how cool Eagly was for a CG pet. You have to admit, Eagly
makes you cooler. Want your own pet eagle.
I mean, I kind of wanted one anyways, but this just like made it real. It's just like so, I mean, other than like shit, Crypto, who's cooler than Eagly at this point? I feel like his stock is as high as it's gonna be. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Fuck yeah. Speaking of him, like you mentioned, when his dad fucking decked Eagly out of the air, I mean, it almost made me shed a grown man tear. I was so like upset. I was just like, not my dog Eagly. I mean, he fucking hugged him, dude. It's like, you can't hurt an animal that special.
An eagle that hugs?
Yeah.
How can you punch that?
Dude, he did it twice too.
It's so unpatriotic of his father, first That's off. Very,
you would think of all people, he would respect
the
he'd
eagle.
Be like, yeah, he'd be like uber patriotic and weird about it or something.
You would think, but
especially after taking care of him while he was in prison, like, you took care of the damn thing and then you're gonna punch it out of the sky?
His dad's evil.
Well, no shit, but I mean, it's just like, goddamn, like, you have nothing in you. And right, the fact that his dad guilt trips and he forces Peacemaker into such a terrible upbringing and basically sets him on the path that he was, you know, gonna go down, and he causes the tragedy that defines him and then blames him for it. That shit was so messed up. It's like, no wonder, you know, this guy's got so many problems.
100%. And I guess while we're on the same topic, the fight scenes were good.
They were good.
From Vigilante's prison fight to the chainsaw through the giant gorilla to Peacemaker's fight with the David Bowie looking chick that he slept with. The action scenes were really well done. I even thought it was badass when Peacemaker shot the host of the alien after it pleaded for help. And that being said, I don't think the butterflies would have made a sufficient big bad for this TV series. So balancing that with Peacemaker's relationship with his dad, I kind of felt made up for that.
Yeah, you know, I kind of get what you're saying. It was weird though, too. Like, I didn't expect it to wrap up the way it did, especially the the butterflies, because you see that they're amassing worldwide, almost like they're everywhere. And we've got like one little squad hunting them down in one town, but it just so happens to be that their whole food supply is like underground in that town, which, I mean, it's obviously convenient, but it's just like, I didn't know how they were going to resolve that. You know what I mean? Like at that point in time, when we learned that, it's like, how is this little squad of just Peacemaker and then you loop in Vigilante just to take out a whole invasion? But obviously things wrap up. Obviously the good guys win. Like we said, we mentioned the spoilers at the top, but we do get to see a cameo from the overarching DC universe. And some people are hem-hawing about who got cut from the cameo, which doesn't matter at all because it's just a cameo. We see Aquaman and we see the Flash, which I like the fact that, you know, they were able to kind of pull from the overarching universe and kind of just throw in like a little cameo. And the fact that they you know how DC can be sometimes when it comes to protecting the image of their characters, especially with all the PR work that they're trying to do with Aquaman to make him more of a credible, serious threat or hero. And then they go ahead and throw in some fish fucking jokes at the end. And even Barry gets in on it. And I don't like Ezra Miller as the Flash, but even that was kind of funny. He's like, it's not a rumor. And it's just like, good, dude. Roast his ass.
Yeah. I was very grateful that it wasn't just silhouettes. It was okay that they didn't expose the whole Justice League, but making it known that at least Jason Momoa and Miller were cameoed in this did tie it to the overarching universe in a way that we really haven't seen from either of the big two thus far. And I thought like they just did that perfectly.
Yeah, and I do even like the smaller references when, you know, Peacemaker would just routinely shit on people in the DC universe, make fun of Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Arrow. He even mentions that Batmite exists. I like that they
that
were
was
able
cool.
to yeah, exactly. I like that they were able to pull in like all those like even fringe characters and just confirm like, yeah, they do exist in this universe.
Did you see that Stephen Amell? He replied to that Green Arrow comment.
Did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he said something along the lines of, sorry John Cena, I'm actually doing real wrestling. And I don't know, he took a stab at him because John Cena's Peacemaker said that he was a brony that had like a 4-inch butthole, 4 inches wide or something. And Stephen Amell commented that he's actually not pretend wrestling but trying to real wrestle right now or whatever. He took it to heart. It's like,
oh brother, dude, I mean, I'm sure funny. He's joking or whatever, but regardless, John Cena owns you, dude, like in wrestling and in fucking DC. Yeah. Like way cooler in both regards. Agreed. No offense to him, but
I like them both, but John Cena is the GOAT.
John Cena is the GOAT. And it gives me hope for an unrelated thing here with The Rock as Black Adam. So I know that The Rock is always The Rock in every movie, and that's what we're going to get. But we've seen Dave Bautista, you know, he's Drax, which not a character I'm a fan of.
Meh.
Well, in the movies at least. But the fact that the wrestlers are all translating to comic book movies is actually kind of perfect because it's the same thing, really. Dudes in costumes fighting and being silly. So no wonder they're naturals at it. This is just off topic. Now I'm excited for the Black Adam movie too. But I would like to see somehow Black Adam crossover with John Cena. I want to see the Peacemaker just roast
Black
Adam. Well,
this kind of, the ending scene kind of made that possible, right? And we may never see that, but it's a possibility. And I'm also surprised with that appearance of the Justice League that they let Peacemaker and Vigilante stay anti-heroes. I know that like they only kill bad guys, but you would think with Batman and Superman having such like a big no killing policy that they would kind of put a stop to it. But John Cena has the balls to call them pussies when they show up, and you know they don't do anything about him killing criminals. But the ending of this series also made me wonder how Amanda Waller's daughter outing her mom as personally responsible for the Suicide Squad kind of impacts things moving forward and how that will play into season 2, which sounds like it's already been approved, which I'm sure everything will come full circle. But also to your point, every episode had a pretty good cliffhanger. So the whole thing was pretty engaging. And overall, I really did enjoy the finale, even though I'm not a fan of this version of Aquaman and Flash.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not really big on either one of their takes, but it's just cool to see the Justice League in general just show up to stuff like that, which is funny because this is I get why Amanda Waller is so secretive and all that. But at the same time, like if you know that this is like a global threat and whatever, it's like, why don't you call in the big guns if you got like space aliens invading and taking over people's brains? Like, why can't you just call Superman and just be like, hey, we got something beyond our means here? But I don't know. I'm really excited for what season two is going to give us. I mean, like, I wonder, is Harcourt even going to be on the squad anymore in the same role, or is she kind of going to transition to being kind of like Oracle in a way? Like, maybe she's going to hang back on the truck more. I mean, I guess Economos is going to stick around. Adebayo is probably done. She's going to go get a job somewhere else with her dog and her wife. And she just outed her mom. So I don't know what the hell she's going to do. She could probably be dead for all we know because her mom is crazy. And I don't know. I mean, do you keep Vigilante around next? I mean, I'm sure he'll make his way around next season. You have to. Vigilante rules. Like, he's not even characterized like that in the books. He's actually just very serious, like no nonsense. But I like that they made him kind of like their own Deadpool. And I say that I don't like Deadpool, but I like Vigilante because it's, you know, obviously it's Deadpool-esque because that's something they can get away with doing, but it was way better. It was like having like a serial killer with like awkward problems like on your squad at all times, and he was hilarious. I'm glad to see that the whole squad pretty much made it out alive other than Mern. So
I think what he has that Deadpool doesn't is that he literally went into prison to fight Peacemaker's dad, so like you saw like the genuine friendship.
And yeah, so he was down for the cause.
He was down for the ride. So there was a lot you appreciated about him, and he was always pulling his own weight too. So it wasn't just like comedic, and then and it was immature, but like you said, he hit on most of his jokes. He kept swinging, and I think it really made sense for Peacemaker. He was the closest badass thing to like a sidekick.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that he was chopping people up with like swords, he brought the chainsaw to go get the gorilla, and hell, like especially like what sold me on him, because in the first appearance, you know, some of the humor was a little bit forced, but once they came down to assassinating Goff, the senator and his family, and Peacemaker was pussing out of doing it, Vigilante's like, give it here. And then he's just like, mama bear, done. Baby bear, done. He was just popping them off left and right, like stone cold too. And it's just like, what is up with this dude? But it was badass at the same time. Like, he don't give a fuck. Yeah. And he's just like a fucking dish guy at the busboy at the fucking restaurant. And they're like, holy shit, is that him? It's just his whole deal was just silly as hell.
Like you said, expected John Cena to be good. But like, I didn't expect this from the rest of the cast. And they nailed it. They made characters that may have not been interesting.
Literal no-name characters. And the Vigilante, who's like the most minor anti-hero from the new Teen Titans run that anyone's ever seen. So, you know, it's cool. Especially the fact that Vigilante has so many different personas. Like, there's been like 5 different Vigilantes. They made this one like the de facto Vigilante moving forward. Like, I'm sure that we're going to see DC Comics start to publish a little bit more Vigilante things or have him in it. And he's going to be characterized like this, which I think is perfect for them because, I mean, he's a nothing character like currently. Sorry to all the big Vigilante fans prior to this show, but this is what he is now. And I think that it's a good thing because they took bland and they made it silly. And I don't know.
What'd you think of the intro?
Now, that's the hot debate. So everybody and their brother loves it. They're like, don't skip it. And I like the creativity of it. I think it's silly as hell and it fits the mood of the show, but I can't sit through that choreography just every time. It's so weird.
The intro was funny and it was well executed. It was a bit much after the first episode and the last episode. Like, I skipped it episodes like 2 through 7. So watching it the first time was funny though.
I agree.
It was over the top, and that's why it was funny. They did try to push humor in a lot of places where I felt like they could have omitted some parts, but that's Gunn's work in general. Overall, I'm pleased. And it felt like this show will bring a lot of deserved popularity to the character, which is surprising because we haven't seen this type of success with their other properties. I'm a huge Watchmen fan, and for those that don't know, the comedian was based off of Peacemaker. So that's another reason I'm excited that they were able to execute this so well and that it's getting another season. And it also makes me excited the way you're excited about Black Adam as to what other releases DC is going to bring to HBO, like the Green Lantern series that they're currently working on. Like, I'm sure it's going to be a different flavor than this, but they did a pretty good job with the Watchmen show. They did a great job with this. And so I kind of think they've always been good with their animated stuff, but now they're kind of getting good at the TV portion of it too. So if they can get the movies going, they'd be firing on all cylinders after this. And they've had to play catch up to Marvel for a while now. So this was definitely better than WandaVision. I think the only thing that could probably rival this on Marvel's side is Daredevil. So pretty excited. That's mostly what I got on the show. John Cena's the man. I don't think that they could have picked a better person for the role. The worst episode may have been the first episode. For those listening, I recommend watching episode 2 and maybe 3 because I really enjoyed it. And I think the momentum between episodes is another reason to keep watching. Overall, I think I might give it anywhere between an 8.5 to a 9 out of 10. How about you, Berger?
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. I mean, obviously, I was high on this with John Cena, just to recap. I do really like the fact that, like I mentioned before, wrestlers are starting to take over comic book roles. Not all of them, because not all wrestlers are good at what they do. In fact, I'd say most aren't going to translate well. But it is easy. It's a lot easier to buy into when John Cena's goofy as hell. He could be very serious. And honest to God, he's just built for the role. It's nice to see suits that aren't padded to try and make the actors look big. And you can literally see a guy who's built and acts like a superhero. It's a lot easier to buy into. That's just a side note, I guess. But like you said, the recommendation to just power through the first few episodes, I would definitely co-sign on that. So I watched this with Jazz, fiance, and she wasn't really big on it to start, but I told her, let's watch it together. And at first she was just kind of like, eh. And then, you know, once we got a couple episodes in, she bought in too. We look forward to it together. She's a non-superhero fan and largely. So it's a big co-sign there for her as well. I give it a 9 out of 10. I don't want to go higher because I thought about a 9.5 flirting with it, but then I'm starting to think like that's kind of like Sopranos. And then I'm like, this ain't the Sopranos, but this is like, it's, I mean, they're their own things and I'm no expert on TV shows and movies. So I hold it in high regard for something that like is fun to watch. And, you know, is, you know, if you like comic books at all, I would say, you know, watch this. And this is dumb that I kind of even have to say it in my opinion, but if you're easily offended, keep that in mind watching this, because they do say some out there shit, as we alluded to. But I mean, it's just the characters being characters. Like, you really feel like these characters feel that way. And I feel like that's how it's supposed to be. They feel authentic to the characters and it helps push the narrative. So just keep that in mind. They're not saying anything by that. It's just characters. But this was a great show. I'm beyond pumped that they confirmed a season 2 already. I was very worried about that because it's very easy to just have one and done with any of these shows nowadays. But I'm excited to see where they go from here. And I don't know exactly where that's going to be. And that's one of the things that's kept me hooked on this show the whole time, is that I don't know where it's going. So having a whole season of no expectations is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, Gunn's best work. You can see that John Cena was very passionate about it too. I think he helped write a lot of the stuff. And you could just see that the whole crew was bought into a certain vision. And so that's Comic Book Junkie's review on the Peacemaker. So you told the audience what we were going to do last time. So Berger, hit them with what we're going to do again next week.
So in case you didn't hear what we're going to do last time, we are going to watch The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson, directed by Matt Reeves. It's going to be a great film. We figured we'd pop this in. It works perfectly in our timeline. You know, the movie's coming out in the next couple weeks. Yeah, we're beyond geek to review that one for you. There are going to be spoilers in that. You know, we'll let you know again at the top of the next episode, but we're very excited. We hope you guys are too. And hell, you should go out there and go see it as well, because it's going to be a lot more fun if you know what we're talking about.
Well, first and foremost, we told you we were going to do the Batman next. So I apologize that that's getting pushed back one more, but just anxious about getting it done in time for you guys and making sure that we deliver a quality episode. But what I was going to say is that it gives me hope, because Batman is something that should be on like the big screen versus Peacemaker being a TV show. And I think if they can kind of balance what belongs in a TV series versus a movie, the future of the DC cinema stuff could be pretty good. So I know this is kind of unrelated to everything Peacemaker, because the Joker and now the Batman are kind of unassociated with Ben Affleck's Batman and Henry Cavill's Superman. But regardless, we're both very excited and keep tuning in.
Yep. And that was our note from Joe's journal. Deep on us. Now I gotta like roast a little bit more. So it's starting to look like being a Lions fan is a lot like you being a DC Comics fan. Everything's just predicated on hope that things are gonna get better. And for whatever reason, neither of these franchises know how to turn things around. This is just a side note, more of a PSA. If you even made it to the end, goddamn, all you Snyderverse people online, cut it out. Cut it out. Bad Snyderverse fan. Bad. I don't like your bullshit. Let the movie just die, bro. It's not that good. Snyder
was
ain't
better
that good.
Than the original, and that's it.
And yeah, well, that is Snyder better than Snyder, I guess. Right. Whatever, dude. Like, fucking stop trying to get director's cut of every shitty movie DC releases. Stop trying to make Snyder direct more movies that are gonna be bad and dark for no reason. Let's just drop the Snyder stuff. If you're a Snyder fan, DM me. I will beef with you in our DMs. I don't care. I want the smoke. Just stop flooding every comic book related article and Twitter space about the Snyderverse. Y'all are insane. That aside, if you're a fan and you like the Snyderverse, take what I said to heart, but still listen. And with that, you know where to find us. We're on socials. All the information is in our podcast description. Wherever you're listening to it now, you can catch us on Facebook and listen to our episodes there. And yada yada, bing bang, that's another episode for you. So that's right, Batman's next. Comic Book Junkies out.